Okay, good morning, ladies. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class, learning Freilich and Shushan Purim. To everybody, it is still the tremendous koach of Purim. I heard something very nice, which I shared with Alyssa yesterday when we saw each other on Purim, and that is Rabbi Akiva Willig said in his Shabbos Joshua that we know that Purim is Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur, Purim, Purim, Kippurim. So what is the koach of Purim that it is like Yom Kippur? Purim is such a day of Gashmias, and Yom Kippur is such a day of Torah Ruchnias, where we abstain from all Gashmias. Purim is a day where we involve ourselves in all Gashmias. So how is Purim Yom Kippurim? And Yom Kippur, so Rabbi Willig said something very nice, which I never heard before, and he said that the koach of Purim, the entire intrinsic koach of Purim, is a day of Vinahafachu. Right, that's what we're celebrating. We are supposed to be killed. Haman was hung on the tree. We were not killed. So Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. What's the koach of v'nahafachu? So the koach of v'nahafachu is the koach for an individual and a nation to turn himself over. That a person can start again. The nation can start again. No matter how things look and how much we assume things are one way and this is absolutely going to happen, a person thinks they can't do teshuva, they can't change themselves. Or Salvechuk says, and the main ingredients that we need for teshuva is courage. A person needs to be courageous to change himself. That's a koach of Purim. It's v'na hafachu. It's a day when a person can overturn himself, can make himself into a new person. Amen the gzeir and shemayim is overturned. And that's how Purim is like Yom Kippur. That even though it's a day of almost kula gashmius, under the surface, it's really Dev Kul Ruchnias. And the tremendous koch of to tap into this v'na hafachu, that it's never too late. A person is never chas v'shalom lost. Our nation, God forbid, is never lost. We can always overturn who we are, he said, as individuals, as a nation. So today's still Shushan Purim. It is the day when the Jews in Shushan still continue to celebrate. So we still have this koch today to renew ourselves. And of course, Baruch Hu should accept our avoda just like he does on Yom Kippur. And our sin should be whitened like snow. So we are learning Leilui Nishmas and Lezeichu Nishmas Tzvi Gershon Alav Hashem Ben Yoav V'chanas Nesham Shev and Aliyah and the Mer of Archabura Tfila Al Hadibur, please, and the inside from flap. Oh, here. 1 second. Oh, also, Bishus, my son, Yitzchak Yonatan, who is joining us in our learning today. So we're going to start with the Tfila Al Hadibur. Ribono Shel Olam Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Arachon Vechanan Shatizakeni Hayam Uvechal Yam Lishmar Pi Ulishoni Milashon Hara Urechilas Ve'ezaher Milidaber Afilu Al Ish Yachid Ve'kol Shekein Al Kal Yisrael O Al Chelek Mehem Ve'kol Shekein Milik Yisraim Al Midosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ve'ezaher Milidaber Divrei Sheker Hanufa Machlokes Ka'as Gaiva Onas Divarim Halbanas Panim Leitanus V'chol Dibur Asur V'zakeini Shelo Ledaber Ki Im Dabar Hatzarich Le'inane Gufi V'nafshi V'yukom Asai V'diburai L'shem Shemayim. So we ask Hashem to save us from Lashon Hara and strife and anger and haughtiness and verbal oppression and embarrassing somebody else and making fun of somebody else and everything that is usur. So we'll see if we're going to actually get to the sefer today. Please forgive me. I prepared something that is based on a really true matitzava. This past week's parasha was just matitzava coming up to Vayakam Pakuda, even though Kitisa really takes a break a little bit from Binyan Mishkan when we go to Chet HaEgel. But of the last five parshios, we have true matitzava, Kisisa, Vayakam Pakuda. The theme of all of them really is Malachas HaMishkan, Binyan HaMishkan, and one of the implements and the Mishkan really teaches us about Kol Chedibur. So very timely and important. I do want to just begin with something that I read in Rabbi Pesach Kron's new book, Illuminations of the Magid, and it's actually, he quotes a Chavetz Chaim, so very relevant to our learning. He quotes a Chavetz Chaim. Okay. So Rabbi Kron writes, although it is always important to watch our words, when we speak words of Torah and Tefillah, we must be extra careful. And then he says, the Chavetz Chaim explains this is a beautiful parable. So this is a mashal the Chavetz Chaim gives to teach us about the importance of speech. Imagine a pristine lake, a beautiful lake, is a source of water for a community. Right? So that's a water source. But the pipes through which the water flows are rusty and dirty. By the time the water reaches the people, it will be contaminated and undrinkable. It's beautiful in the lake. By the time it comes to your house, going through dirty pipes, you can't drink the water. Torah and Tefillah are pure. They must reach heaven. The pipes through which the Torah and Tefillah travel is our mouth. If our speech is haughty, we just spoke about gaiva, hurtful, onas devarim, coarse. That's something we haven't spoken about, actually, in our class yet. Coarse speech. That's also not necessarily Lashon Hara when it comes to speaking about somebody else, but it reflects who we are as people. V'atem tiyu li mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. What are the words that come out? If we have an injustice, interesting, coarse speech, or if we speak Lashon Hara rechilus, we will sully our mouths, our words of Torah and tefillah cannot rise up to Shemayim impurity. Numerous scenarios come to mind. He just gives some examples based on this mashal of the Chavetz Chaim with the pipes. Imagine a group of 30 or 40 women are reciting Tehillim for those who are ill, or for Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They're using their mouth in a sacred manner. One goes home, she gets a phone call asking for a reference for a shidduch. She gives a very negative opinion of the family in question. And Rabbi Kron says, all her tehillim has just been spiritually soiled, which prevents her sacred words from rising up to heaven. Consider this, a bachar learns from morning seder, 4 hours of uninterrupted Torah, at lunch with his friends, another boy's name comes up. The boy says he's a brainless fool who doesn't belong in yeshiva. There goes his 4 hours of Torah learning. So imagine how one sentence, two sentences, a paragraph, one conversation can negate hours of good work. How about this? A businessman excuses himself in the middle of an important meeting to daven mincha. He comes back, heartfelt prayer. He tears someone's reputation to shreds. Subsequently, the words of mincha have become shriveled. And he quotes Rav Palm, he quotes Rav Shimon Finkelman, in Rav Palm's biography, and I still remember when I read it in the biography itself, Rav Palm says the most dangerous hour on Rosh Hashanah is the hour immediately following davening. It's in the article biography of Rav Palm, the most dangerous hour, because Rav Palm writes there, everyone comes home, how was the Baal Tokeya? How did you enjoy the davening? How was the rabbi's drasha? Do you remember we spoke about Loaga? Okay. The close connection we strove to make during our Rosh Hashanah tefillos is gone. For what? A snide remark, nasty criticism, degrading comment. Is it really worth it? He quotes next, he says, I once saw a magnificent poster this sentence is unbelievably powerful. Ready? It ties into what we began from Rabbi Akiva Willard, that it's Yom Kippurim, it's never late to overturn who we are. Quote, it's never too late to become what you could have been. It's never too late to become what you could have been. One can always do teshuva. And the Chavetz Chaim says it's never hopeless. If he decides to elevate his power of speech, his learning and prayer will rise to the highest height. He quotes Rabbi Yudin from New Jersey, Fair Lawn, New Jersey, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, Netzar Lashoni Meira, we say at the end of Shemana Esrei, guard my mouth from speaking evil. Why do we pray for this at this point? At the end of Shemana Esrei, Rabbi Yudin says, we cry out to Hashem, that we use our mouths properly from now on, so we don't spoil the connection we just made through Shemana Esrei. So it's beautiful, Ha'ara, that here we are at the end of Shemana Esrei. And why? We begin with Hashem, Sefasai Tiftach, Hashem, open my lips so my mouth shall speak your praise. If you want some, you could have. And then we end with Netzor Shoni Meiras for Sechem Dar. Remember, why? Why do we ask for Koach to guard our mouth at the end? Because everything, all that Kedusha of Shemana Esrei, if I take it and I sally my mouth and the pipes are dirty. So Abed Kohen, it's made in DB so. So I thought obviously it was a very relevant mashal for our learning. And it comes from the Chavetz Chaim. So now what I want to talk about next is the Mi'il. Okay? You know what I was going to say. So there are different big day kahuna. This is actually something I have not discussed in Parsha class. I'll tell you a cute story. They're asking me for 2 weeks, when are we learning from the Mishkan book? When are we learning from the Mishkan book? Because every year we have the Mishkan book, and this year I didn't take it out yet. So where are we going to have the Mishkan book? So they should have come to Shmuel Slashe class. So I just want to show you the big dekun. It's very beautiful. Do you have the Sefer? It's not really a book, because it has every Pasuk with Rashi going through Truma and Tetzava. Almost every Pasuk with Rashi in terms of the Kalim, the implements, and the Big Tekuna. It's unbelievable. You really can't learn the parashas of Truma, Tetzava, Ve'akam, Pekudei without the Sefer. Well, these are the Big Tekuna. The Kohen Hedjot had four. He had the breeches, and he had the Ksonas, the cloak. He had the Avnet, the sash, the Mikba'as, the hat. The Kohen Gadol had an additional four. He had the Choshen breastplate. He had the Ephod, which you could see on him. He had a special sash, and he also had a tzitz, which either read La Hashem Kodesh or Kodesh La Hashem. But the one I want to talk about today is this Mi'il, this blue Mi'il. Okay. So let's talk about this. So I put together some insights. Did everyone see? Yeah, what book am I looking at? If you're asking, Mishkan, the Mishkan, HaMishkan V'Kelav, its structure and sacred vessels, it's by Art Skoch. Rabbi Avram Biederman, if everyone's interested, if anyone is interested. I know this, someone said to me, it's too expensive. I said, considering what I spend in groceries, $7 for sefer that I use every single year, that's not so expensive. I said, but also, they do sell a smaller version now. Just FYI, if anyone's interested. Okay. And I don't work for them, so it's not a promotion. Just I highly recommend this book. Okay. Sefer, not book. Okay, so let's talk about the Mi'il. Here we go. And let's learn about the Mi'il and see what insights we have. So this is the Mi'il. And first of all, the Asisa as Mi'il Ha'efod. You should make the Mi'il. Mi'il, today we mean Mi'il is a ko, right? Mm-hmm. But why they call it that? Because underneath you were the ketones. Under here was a linen tunic. This is not the first layer on the Kohen Gadol. Whatever. Under here is the linen tunic, and on top, so it's like a coat, it goes over. The mi'il, mi'il ha'efod. Why the efod? Because this is the apron. The apron attaches, here's the apron, and it's going to attach to the choshen. It's the mi'il ha'efod because it's the cloak that goes with the efod, kliel to cheles, entirely of turquoise wool. And Rashi says, she'ein min acher me'orav bo. There's nothing else mixed with it. Many of the other big day kahuna were linen, they were mixed with gold, they were mixed with a mixture of fabrics. Compelling is that in the big day kahuna, we know there were shatnas. I think we discussed it here, that there was wool and linen mixed together. But today we're talking about tcheilas. Okay, so we are told that the mi'il was like a long shirt-like garment with sleeves, turquoise wool. Each of the threads contained 12 strands. So it was 12 strands of tcheilas in one strand. It was woven as a single tube-like piece. They wove the sleeves separately, and they attached it together. The ephod, we just said, was girded around it, and therefore it's called the Mi'il Techeilas. And what does the Gemara tell us in Zvachim 88b? Right? The Gemara says, the Mi'il atones for evil speech, Lashon Hara. So, you know, Yonatan said this morning, should I come with you to class? I said, I would be so honored. He said, how many classes? I said, two. He said, what are you talking about? He said, first we're talking about Lashon Hara, then we're talking about Parshas on the way in the car. I said, I'm so happy you're coming. It's interesting classes. First we're talking about the Mi'il, then we're talking about Parshas. He says, I thought you told me we were talking about Lashon Hara. Mm-hmm. So I said, I am. I said, but every garment of the Kohen Gadol atone for a different sin. And the Gemara tells us in Zvachim, the Mi'il atones for slander, Lashon Hara, evil speech. Rabbi Hanina said, let something that emits sound atone for sound. So we're going to come to the bells on the hem in a moment. But the first thing I thought that was compelling and interesting is the fact that it's made from kulot tcheilas. Is this too high?
No, it's fine.
I want you to be able to see. The fact that it's made from kulot tcheilas is compelling because many of the other garments are sewn from a mixture of materials. So what do we perhaps learn from here? The Gemara says in three different places, in Maseches Sota, Maseches Menachos, and Maseches Chulin, very famous comment that you've probably heard it before. Tcheilas dome layam, layam dome lirakia, rakia dome lekisei kavod. Why does it say this? Because it's in regard to tzitzis, because we're supposed to wear what? Tcheilas.
Yeah, I said that
please. And where do we put the tcheilas?
In our tzitzis.
Right. So when we knew definitively the chilazon, the sea creature, so we used tcheilas. It wasn't a dye that came out, it was a permanent dye.
If they had it in the desert, how'd they get it from a sea creature? If they used tcheilas in the desert, how'd they get it from a sea creature?
If they use it?
Did they use tcheilas in the desert, like, for the Mishkan? Did they use any
tcheilas? That's a good question.
How did they get the...
That's a good question. How did they get the tcheilas, the dye? I don't know. It's very nice. Very nice.
It's a question I'm
going to
answer myself. My Rebbe told me the answer.
Oh, so it's answered. So share it with us. Let me repeat the question. It's an excellent question. Yonatan asked, how did they have tcheilas for the kelim, the implements, the materials they donated tcheilas to the Mishkan? And Yonatan said, if they were in the desert, then how do they have tcheilas? It comes from a sea creature. And we said, it's an excellent question. But then Yonatan said, yes, Rebbe's going to answer the question.
My Rebbe said that they had a cloud, and they sat on the cloud, and they flew on it, and they went to Eretz Yisrael, and they went fishing, and they got the fish, and they brought it back on the cloud.
Who went to Eretz Yisrael on the cloud?
Moshe Rabbeinu and a few other people.
It can't be Moshe. Moshe never went into Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, right. Not Moshe. A few people, and they got the fish that knew what the right kind of fish, and they went on a cloud, and they went.
Who told you? Rabbi
Kleinman? And then a kid in my class asked if they had the cloud that they could fly, why did they just fly out of the desert?
That's a very good question.
Hashem didn't want them to go into it, so yeah. Okay, very interesting. I never heard it. I assume Rabbi Kleiman's quoting a medrash. I could try and find out the source. Very, very interesting that they used a certain cloud to go to Eretz to get the dye from the chilazon, the sea creature, to come back to Tchel. It's very nice.
It's also a machlokas. It was a snail, the blood of a snail, or a certain kind of snail, or a sea creature.
Okay, well, a kind of sea style. Okay, very nice, beautiful. So this garment, this mi'il, is made entirely of tcheles. Thank you very much, beautiful. So the Gemara tells us in three different places, tcheles domel yam, the tcheles, this blue color, resembles the sea, yam domel rakia, the sea resembles the heavens, the sky, if you will, and rakia domel kisei kavod, and the rakia resembles the throne of glory. So a couple interesting things about this Mamar Chazal. First of all, the classic question is, why can't you just say tcheles domel lekisei hakavod? Just tell me that tcheles resembles the heavenly throne. Under his feet is livnas hasapir, a sapphire brick, so to speak. Under the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is some sort of sapphire brick. So just tell me that when I look at the tcheles, you put it on your tzitzis, or isem, also it's chartam, it's called mitzvos Hashem. You see, you remember the mitzvos of Hashem. How do I remember the mitzvos of Hashem? I think of the kisei hakavod when I see the blue. What do I need to remember the sea, and what do I need to remember the sky? So the first time I heard the answer was a number of years ago. Rena Kuttner came to class, Razi, her stepdaughter's name is Razi, and Razi Dickman said something very nice. She had just come back from seminary. She said they learn, because in Avodas Hashem there are stages. A person can't think that they live in this world, and the next thing they're going to do is be on the level of Shamayim. Oh, now I'm on the level of Kisei HaKavod. It doesn't work like that in Avodas Hashem. Like Rav Soloveitchik says, a person, things happen in steps, in stages. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 does not equal 10. So if I'm on a certain level in my Avodas Hashem, even though it's true I could tap into the Koach Avinu Hafachu, I need to go in stages, which is why we had 49 days. We're going to be soon in those 49 days. Unbelievable. Counting from Pesach to Shavuos, why? Why can't you just go from Mitzrayim to Matan Torah? For the same reason. You need stages. So I'm just thinking now, which I didn't think of before, why is one of the stages Layam, to the sea, besides for the fact that it is bluish green?
No, it's clear. The ocean is clear.
But it appears blue or bluish green. Why is that the first step? Because it's turbulent. So you have to know when you begin to make inroads in your Avodas Hashem, when you begin to make that change, when you tap into the Kof Vina Hafach, when you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I really want to change. Purim is a Yom Kippurim. I want to be a new person. I want to be a different person. I want to erase the Gezeirah against Mishamayim. I want to eradicate my Yetzer. So you have to know the sea is very choppy and it's very churning. And even when the sea looks calm, underneath there could be riptides. You have to know as you take those first steps in your Avodas Hashem, it's not a lake, it's not tranquil. But if you can get through the choppiness, then you get to the Rakia, and it's calm, and it's tranquil, and that is going to remind you of the Kisei HaKavod. What does this have to do with Lashon Hara? And the tcheles, and we're talking about stages in our Avodas Hashem, and we're talking about remembering the Kisei HaKavod. So it's really the same thing that we're speaking about in terms of any Avodas Hashem. It could apply to Lashon Hara. The first thing is when you take upon yourself to improve your speech. And we just had an interesting ha'ar from a Pesach Kona. Maybe in a couple of classes we should be dealing with coarseness of speech, and not only Lashon Hara means evil speech. Even though we tend to think when you say something about somebody else, but as we're learning in our months together, there are so many components slash in her. It's not only her kugel tasted terrible, what was she thinking? Coarseness of speech is included in that. So when you resolve to change all aspects of speech, it's going to be choppy. Because why? As soon as you say, I want to change, you know what the Yetzer Hara says?
No.
I'll show you. And he shows up like the yam. He shows up like those churning waters. But if you can get through it and if you can persevere, ultimately you're going to reach the heavens spiritually. The other reason is because tcheles domel yam, yam domel rakia, rakia domel kisei hakavod. Before you open your mouth, the mi'il represents the blue of the kisei hakavod. It's dalif ne'mi'ata omeid. And shivisi Hashem ne'gisam. And you have to know before whom you're standing, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is before me. Always, we just had in last week's parasha, the Korban Tamid is brought twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, in parashas Tetzaveh. Keves Hasheni Tasa Ben Harbayim, Shnayim Leyam Tamid. So the Mefarshim say Tamid. What?
Nothing.
It's two Tamids. Okay, there's the Tamid of the morning and the Tamid of the afternoon. You should put before you always, as it's brought down by Rav Zilberstein, you should put down before you always two Tamids. Shivisi Hashem l'nayti Tamid is the one Tamid. David HaMelech says, Kapitel Nun Av of Tehillim. Kapitel Tes Vav, 16. And the other Tamid is Kapitel Nun Aleph, V'chatasi Nagli Tamid. A person has to balance out two Tamid, says Rav Zilberstein. You always have to know God is before me always, and my sin is before me always. And if you can have those awarenesses of Tamid, you could bring your Kabbanos twice a day to Rabbanu Shalom. And that really relates to the Tcheles of the Me'il. Why is it Dome, Lekise, a Kabbar, ultimately the color, and it atones for Lashon Hara? Because if we could remember through the blue of the Kisei HaKavod, if we could neutralize Hashem is before me always, my sin is before me always, then it would help eradicate the sin of Lashon Hara. Okay, moving on. Someone said something?
No, but we also remember learning that it was compared to the blue, which looks like the sea, because the sea listens to Akash Baruch Hu's command that it has to stay within its boundaries, and the sand, which is like the gates, it doesn't go past the sand. So our lips and teeth, our teeth and our lips are our gates.
Oh,
our gates. So we should have them guarded at the, you know, the right time when we shouldn't speak.
So I just thought of something based on what you're saying. What happens when the sea does go beyond the boundaries?
Then that's because what?
When the sea goes beyond its natural normal boundaries, it's terribly destructive.
Right.
It's a terrible thing. When the sea goes beyond, it causes death, it causes destruction, it causes mayhem, well, wreaks total havoc. What happens when your tongue goes beyond the boundaries? So too, the same thing. What?
That's because it's a punishment for a bad thing. If people do bad things, Shem's going to have to punish them, so he takes the sea and he does a punishment, Lashon Hara.
Okay, so if people do bad things with their tongue, then also, Rahman al-Tzam, we end up with punishment, which is Galus of Bayashini.
And you shouldn't, if you have your mouth, you shouldn't decide if someone needs a punishment and talk Lashon Hara about them, but Hashem could decide that and he could take the sea out of its boundaries.
And then it's terribly destructive, just like if we talk Lashon Hara. Okay, next pasuk. Pay attention to the Lashon in this pasuk. Okay, we're talking about Kol HaDibur, and the Me'il specifically atones for speech. V'haya pi rosho besocho. Unbelievable Lashon. Pi is your mouth. Rosh is your head. But it's talking about the Me'il, and it will be the opening of its head. It's talking about the neckline. Okay? Besocho shall be folded in within. Look at the next word.
Like a collar.
Safa. What's Safa?
Language.
Lips. Safa yelefiv. It's translated by art school as its opening shall have a border. But really, Safa Yelefiv means the mouth should have lips. Its lips should be for the mouth. You see, Safa Yelefiv. There should be lips for the mouth. Saviv Alra, Masa Oreg, the work of a weaver. Kifi Tachgara, like the opening of a suit of armor. Yihiyelo, it shall be lo yikare, it shall not rip. Though, the Rashi says, armor had neck openings folded to the inside. So it's telling you the neck hole had to be folded on the inside. Where was the hem, so to speak, sewed? Not on the outside of the garment, but rather on the inside of the garment. The fabric was doubled, folded towards the robe's inside.
Like this?
Reinforced hole, so it should not tear, like your shirt. Correct. Hi psichas beisat tzavar. What does the P of the Me'il mean, says Rashi? It is the opening of where the neckline went. Okay? But it's fascinating to look at this pasuk and see the words P rosho, the mouth of its head, Safa yihiyah lapiv, we just spoke about it, you brought it up. We have to make sure that our mouth is guarded with the lips. Lo yikare, it shall not be torn. So from this pasuk, what can we say? P rosho besocho, keep your lips turned inward. P rosho besocho, you have to make sure your lips are turned inward. Safa, put your lips all around. White, like a suit of armor. Kifi tachgara, tachra. Kifi tachra, why like a suit of armor? Because when you go out to battle with your Yetzer Hara, and when you push, you visi Hashem negdi sabmi, but on the other hand, v'chatasi negdi sabmi, you're really going out to war. And You have to be guarded, and you have to be girded, and you have to be armed, and you have to be dressed for war. And I don't mean physically dressed, I mean spiritually ready for war, like a suit of armor. That is how strong you have to be when it comes to Shemar Salashon. And the Pasuk is so evocative of actual Koch HaDibur that it's just unbelievable. Lo yikare, it shall not be torn. The Me'il was not allowed to be torn. Rashi says, V'hakoro over Balav. One who actually tears the Me'il is over Lo Ta'aseh. It's a mitzvah, a rice, a Lo Ta'aseh. You cannot rip the Me'il. So we have to make sure that our words don't rip through our mouths. This pasuk is unbelievable allusion on the level of pshat. It's interpreted one way, and on the level of the jas, it teaches us so much about Shemir Salashon. But you said the lips have to guard the opening, gird yourself because you're going out to war, dressed in armor. Lo yikari, make sure your teeth, your lips, your tongue do not tear through your boundary. Okay, now any other questions or comments? Yeah, ladies, okay, you with me? We know what we're talking about.
Yes.
The asisa al shulav, what should he make on the hem? Very famous. Rimone techeles, ragaman vitola shami. So pomegranates. No, they weren't really pomegranates. It shows you what a baby pomegranate looks like. It was a woven pomegranate. Techeles is the blue wool. We spoke about argaman purple wool, tola shani scarlet wool. On its hem, all around. Upamone zahav betocham saviv. And bells of gold. And it were actual bells that had a clapper inside. And this shows you the hem. Okay. The hem of the Me'il was woven with bells and pomegranates all around. Rashi says they were actual bells with clappers inside. Between every two pomegranates, there was one bell. Okay. Hanging from the hem of the Me'il. They were made of gold with a gold clapper, says the Gemara Maseches Vachim. Pomegranates were woven of wool. Young pomegranate. Okay. So that is what the hem looked like. So, of course, the Gemara has already told us that the Me'il atones for speech. That's something that emits sound. The bells made noise. V'nishma kol b'vol ha-kodesh, the Pasuk says, his voice, Aaron's voice, the sound will be heard when he comes to the Kodesh, atone for voice. It's the classic phrase of, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. So the Me'il teaches us, not only is it mechaper for sins of Lashon Hara, coarseness of speech, inappropriate speech, it also teaches us that of course, Chazal famous to say in Pirkei Avos, kol yamai gadalti bein hachachamim v'lo matzati leguf tov mishtika. All my days, I grew up amongst the sages, and I found nothing better for the body than shtika. If Shandy Hammond was here, she would say, I told you, we're not allowed to talk. Okay, there are times of when we must talk, and that is represented by the bells, and there are times when we have to be silent. And of course, the gavos is to know when we have to arm ourselves to be silent, and to know when we have to talk, and when we do so, to make sure our pipes are clean. Yes?
There's a saying in Zadie's book, I remember it, silver speech is silver, silence is gold.
Wow. Speech is silver, silence is gold, correct. So my father bought the kids a book, Yiddish, what's it called?
Yiddish sayings.
Yiddish sayings. It's almost like a coffee table book with different Yiddish sayings. So what is it? Silver, speech is silver?
Silver is speech, silence is... Speech is silver, silence is gold.
So it's interesting that the bells were gold, by the way.
Right.
Because it's a high... Interesting. So here we come to a different ha'ara. Gold is a higher... of higher quality and higher value than silver. And there were sockets made of silver. Silver was used in Binyan HaMishkan. But here at Dafka, these were made from gold. Because when it says, V'yichudi trima me'ez kolishu shayid venu libo tichu es chumasi, and what shall you take? The first thing listed is gold. It's the highest level. So it shows us the highest striving is for this Indian. That even when we have to speak, the bells are actually what made the noise. We should be careful how and what we speak. So I'm going back and quoting from Rabbi Kron's book again, and you have to hear this unbelievable short vignette that he relates. I don't even know what time it is. Now I do. Rav Avram Mandelbaum is one of the Menahalim of Yeshivas Orchas Chaim in Lakewood, New Jersey. There are about 300 children in the third and fourth grade classes. Whenever a boy is sent to the office by some misbehavior, Rabbi Mandelbaum discusses the situation. He reprimands if necessary. Before he sends it back to class with a note to the Rebbe or teacher, Rabbi Mandelbaum says, remember Shmuley, it's just a generic name, I love you. Towards the end of the year, Rabbi Mandelbaum was visited by a mischievous child who had been sent to the Menahal's office more than once. Rabbi Mandelbaum gave him a gentle rebuke. He wrote the note and he said, you may go back to class now, Shmuley. It's not the real name. The boy stepped in the hallway, but he stood at the door. Rabbi Mandelbaum said, you have permission to go back to class. Why aren't you going back to class? Rabbi said, the boy, you forgot to tell me that you love me. Rabbi Mandelbaum told me he was stunned. Who would have thought a few words of endearment were so important to a mischievous child? Rabbi Cohen comments, he says, to me this is so incredibly moving. Some would think those simple words, remember, I love you, to a mischievous child, are not that significant. But, says Rabbi Cohen, 30 years from now, that boy will not remember many, I'm going to say any, will not remember many details of the subject matter he learned in third grade, but he will certainly remember that the Menachel always loved him. And that's the message of the pomegranates and the bells. And there really are times when we do need to be quiet. And there are times when we do need to speak. And the question of the Maisa is knowing, first of all, when to speak and when to be silent. Both the bells and the pomegranates are on the bottom of the me'il. And more than that, when we do speak, to make sure that it's golden. Okay? Not only is silence golden, speech can also be golden. That's an example of gold speech. It was the gold that was the bell, the clappers. Okay? So unbelievable. Any questions or comments?
Does it say why... it shows pomegranates?
Oh, sorry. I think I did want to talk about that. Why pomegranates? I did. Why do the science equal the pomegranates? It's in my notes. Thank you. Before I go on to the next class, like Baruch Hashem. Yeah?
I don't know what I was going to say. Maybe because pomegranates have like 613 seeds in them, and the mitzvos you have to do carefully, and if you try and do them too good, then you're going to... do it not good. And there's another saying in Zadie's book that if you do it too much, you're gonna do it wrong or something like that.
Okay.
So you have pomegranates to 613 mitzvahs, and you have to do each mitzvah carefully and not like you have to be careful when you do it.
Okay. Okay, so I'm really going there. So I was going to touch upon all the seeds. So what we say in Rosh Hashanah when we eat the pomegranates is Sheyir Bozuchuyas Kerimon, which is really what Yonatan was touching upon. Our merit should be as many, thank you for asking it here, our merit should be many as the pomegranate. With each moment of silence, we amass merits for ourselves. As many seeds as there are in the pomegranate. Right? The pomegranates represent the silence. The bells, the gold, represent the speech. So we said that not only is silence golden, speech can also be golden, as we just saw from that unbelievably moving Menahel and Likud. But so why is the silence represented in pomegranates? Because the pomegranate has so many seeds. Sheyir bo zechuyos kerimon. That's really the answer. Our merits should be as many as the rimon. Imagine every moment of silence, how much tzchusim we amass for ourselves. That's it. Because we don't only get tzchusim when we talk. Sometimes, b'hafach, we get the merits when we talk. It's brought down in the biography of the Chavetz Chaim by Rabbi M.M. Yashar. It's art school, but it was written many, many years ago. Someone once came to the Chavetz Chaim, a traveling preacher, talking about the Chavetz Chaim, and he said to the preacher, I go around, I give shiur, not shiur, I speak, I go to the different shuls, I say fire, brimstone, I don't see people are changing. So the Chavetz Chaim said, for half an hour while you're speaking, everyone's quiet. Imagine the schusim that you're getting by keeping all those people from not speaking Lashon Hara for half an hour. And that's the pomegranate. Sheyir b'zechuyos kerimon. We should have as many moments of silence as necessary to amass merits for ourselves. Okay? I need to get to the last two psukim. Ha'amon zahav v'rimon. I need to see this. Move your hand for a minute. Pa'amon zahav v'rimon. So now the pasuk tells you it should be pa'amon zahav a golden bell v'rimon. Pa'amon zahav v'rimon. It's telling you that there's a pattern al shulei ha'me'il saviv on the hem of the me'il all around. V'haya al aron l'shareis. It'll be on Aaron when he serves. The Rashi tells us in the last week's parasha that a kohen who comes to serve without the big day kohuna is chayiv misa. These clothing are integral components of the Avodas Hashem. Even if you look very nice, like you're going to a wedding, black tie, you can't work in the Mishkan if you're not wearing the proper big day kahuna. V'hayal aron l'shareis, it'll be on aron when he serves. V'nishma kolo, once again, the allusion to speech, isn't it unbelievable? Pi, safav, besocho, rosho, v'nishma kolo, the voice will be heard. It says the sound shall be heard, but kolo is kol Yaakov, the voice. V'vol el hakodesh, l'fnei Hashem, we already spoke about Shavisi Hashem, the Nengli Samir, Da'af Nei Miata Omri, Uvitzeso Lo Yamos. Okay? So Rashi tells you, a bell, a pomegranate, a bell, a pomegranate, mikalav atashomehen im yihi lo, lo is chayiv misa. If we will have the priestly garments, he won't be chayiv misa. However, if he enters to serve lacking one of the garments, chayiv misa bidei shemayim. Okay? So, which is what we just said. So what do we learn from this pasuk? V'hayal aron l'shareis. Shem Shem Pinchas says, Salvechik speaks about a home is a mishkan. A home is a mikdash me'ah. They had the shulchan, we have the shulchan. They had the menorah, we have candles. They had the lacham upanim, we have lacham. They had the ark, the aron kodesh, which is the zer zav of Torah, we have a home of Torah. Who serves in the mishkan? Kohen. Who serves in the home? Who's the person of the home? We're like the Kohen. Rav Shimshon Pinchas goes so far as to say in his beautiful book, Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh, that a Jew who prepares properly for Shabbos is like a Kohen preparing to enter the Mikdash 2,000 years ago. A person has to see himself today. I don't mean that we're literally Kohanim, and please understand. But what does the Pasuk say about this? Me'il v'hayal aron l'shareis, put it on when you go to serve Hashem. V'nishma kolo, let your voice be heard. When shall your voice be heard? B'vo el ha-kodesh. When you come to do matters of Kedusha, v'nishma kolo, your voice should be. What are matters of Kedusha? Yesterday we had the Purim Suda. We speak words of Torah at the Purim Suda. We speak words of Zmiros and song and Avodas Hashem at the Purim Suda. We speak words of Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu Matanos L'Avionim. We learned last week in Parsha class that Meiser is not only tithing your money, it's also giving of your time. So all the components of Purim, the Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu Matanos L'Avionim, don't only give him a present, give him your time, include people at your Purim Suda. Speak words of Divrei Torah when you share Mishloach Manos with your friend. Make sure to use your mouth, B'Vol HaKodesh. When you're doing Torah, when you're doing Tefillah, when you're doing Chasa, when you're doing matters of Ruchnias, then Bevala Kodesh, Lefnei Hashem, because you're always before Hashem. But say so, when you finish, so to speak, Avodas Hashem. By the way, I'm saying that carefully. We're never finished Avodas Hashem. But when you're finished, that Tefillah. Why do we say at the end, said Rabbi Yudin, guard my mouth, Davka, at the end? But say so, because I'm taking leave of you, Hashem. Kaviyachal, please. I know when they never take leave of the Ribbon Shalom. I hope you understand what I mean. When you finish the Shemona Esrei and you're about to get on the LIR and you're going to the stock exchange and you're working in Manhattan and it's a dangerous time and you leave Shul, that's Betseiso Sefer Pam. What happens Betseiso? Lo Yamos. Make sure when you leave from before Hashem, Kaviyachal, because you never leave from before Hashem, Lo Yamos. Remember that you should not do things that bring you chalila to death. Who does Lashon Hara kill, says the Gemara? Three people. The speaker dies, so to speak. The listener dies, so to speak. And so does the subject. So this pasuk is such a fabulous climax. When we learn these psukim according to Drash and not only according to Pshat, how unbelievably powerful are these psukim in regard to Shemir Salash and Tcheles. Why Tcheles? Dome le Yam. Yam dome le Rakia. Rakia dome le Kisa Kavod. We spoke about steps in our Avodas Hashem. We spoke about putting Hashem before us always and seeing that Kisa Kavod before us. When we wear the me'il, we spoke about all the components. The Torah says it has pi, it has safa besocho, it is kifi tachra, you have to be girded like armor, berosho, its head. We spoke about the silence of the pomegranates. We spoke about the clap or the bells, the golden bells. Speech too can be golden. Remember, Shmuley said to Menahal, I love you. Vayal aron l'shareis. Make sure you're a kohen. Make sure when you come to serve God, you're donned appropriately. V'nishma kol b'vol kodesh. When you come to speak words of kodesh, your voice should be heard. I said before many months ago, but it relates to our learning very beautifully. Rav Shitzer Rebbe, my son, are you telling me this word? The Rav Shitzer Rebbe says, Torsha Baal Peh begins with mem and ends with mem. From when do we read the Shema? And it ends with Mem, Hashem Yivarechas Amo Bashalom. Last Mishnah in Uktzin. Hashem Yivarechas Amo Bashalom. Last words. May Emasai Shalom. Begins with Mem, ends with Mem. Mem is the only sound, says Rav Shitzer Rebbe. Let the mouth make a Mem, okay? Mem. Pay attention to your mouth. You gotta do it. Mem. It starts with your mouth closed. I can't do it when I'm talking about mem, okay? Mm-hmm. Your mouth is closed, your mouth is open, your mouth is closed. So the Rav Shitzer Rebbe Zechuso Yagen Aleinu says, why does Torah Shabbat Peh begin with mem? To teach you, it's the only letter. Close, open, close. Open your mouth when you want to talk Torah, and when you finish talking Torah, close your mouth. And this is very important, Nekuda, in regard to the Me'il. Now, one more thing I wanted to share that I thought was very interesting. Okay, lo yamos, your word should not be sam maves, a potion of death. But the one more thing that I want to share, which is fascinating, there's a machlokas in the Gemara. How many bells and pomegranates were on the hem of the Me'iyah? Okay. So there were 72 bells and 72 pomegranates, pa'amonim v'rimonim, along the hem, alternating with one another. That's Rashi to Maseches Zvachim, and that's also the opinion of the Rambam. But there's another opinion in Zvachim that there were 36 bells and 36 pomegranates. So 72 or 36. Machlokas, okay, Rashi and the Rambam hold that there were 72. But the last note that I made in my notes for this class is that both 72 and 36 are multiples of what?
18.
Chai. So whichever opinion we hold, that's not random, right? They could have said, I was just going to say 54, but that wouldn't work. They could have said 70, and Chazal could have said 30, and Chazal could have said 100. I don't know, they could have come up with a different number. But the fact that both are multiples of 18 also teaches us that it is not sam mavas, the key of our lips, it's not a potion of death, but rather sam hachayim. It's a potion of life. Sometimes we need more, sometimes we need 18 times two, of course, is 36. 18 times 4 is 72. Sometimes we need more speech. Sometimes we need more silence. Sometimes we have to know how to balance it. By understanding that the Me'il reminds us of the Kisei HaKava, because it's totally tcheles, we can always have Shavisi Hashem Menegdi Samir Halavai. And we can always have Chatasi Negdi Samir. The Chatasi is represented by the turbulent Yam. Hashem is represented by the blue of the sea, but of the Kisei HaKavod. But if we can get through the churning waters of the Yetzirah, he wants. Saw something. What did the Satan do when Avraham Avinu? What did the Satan do when Avraham Avinu was trying to reach the Akedah? What does the Midrash tell us?
Himself into a river.
Did you hear what he said? A churning river. He made a churning river. Aren't you having nachas? You were his first mara.
He's so smart because of what I did for him.
Baruch Hashem, you laid the foundation. I forget where I heard that the kindergarten mowers are the most important teachers because that's the foundation. So we have tremendous hakaras to talk to you more about. So it's a schus that we're learning together. Why? Because why are they the most important? Because if the child doesn't have the foundation, there's nothing to build upon. But wait. Avraham Avinu was trying to reach the Kisei HaKavod, so to speak, the tcheles of the Kisei HaKavod. What a beautiful end. What did the Yetzer Hara, what did the Satan do? He made a churning river. And the water is getting deeper and deeper, and Avraham Avinu has to cross. But we said if you could persevere through the river, through the Yam, the Tcheles of them, you will get to the Tcheles of the Kisei HaKavod, which is really where Avraham Avinu merited. We tap into, we say, okay, this Yitzchak, Berachmim Hayom Tiskar. So remember that our first father made it through the water. We too can make it through the water. And Be'ezras Hashem, say Shushan Per, we should be zochet to tap into the Koach, not only of Purim yesterday, but Shushan Purim today, we can change ourselves. The tremendous koch of v'nehavuch giving resolve to change in all aspects of our life, certainly Shemiras Hashem, not easy, but Be'ezus Hashem, with a lot of siyata d'shmaya, a lot of perseverance and determination to cross the river, we can get there. We should be zocha. Siyata d'shmaya, b'derach shadar mote leich, v'amalichin oso, amen v'amen. Does anyone have questions or comments?
Me.
Yes.
If the pomegranates represented speech, why did
silence.
I mean, the pomegranates represented...
The bells made noise, so
they're
speech.
Then why were they gold? They should have been silver.
So that's what we said, based on... Do you remember the story we told about the principle?
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to make sure your speech is gold. That's the highest level the Torah wants you to reach. Speech is not only silver. Speech can be golden if you use it appropriately.
So why weren't the pomegranate silver? Or why weren't one of the things silver to show that you have to watch it?
They were woven. Why the Torah says, I'm not sure why. Hashem said that they should be woven of different materials. Take a combination of different materials, which was material that was used in a lot of the Kelim and the Mishkan. Anything else? Okay, if I was Nisham Shalaliya. Amen. Thank you, ladies.
It's because you're wearing gold nail polish.
What did you say?
It's because you're wearing gold nail polish.